Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the iSports MSU Red Theater Report, where we don't care if Mark D'Antonio follows Jim Harbaugh south, as long as he doesn't follow him into a kid's bedroom. I am Tyler Hayward. The Red Theater Report is part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. You can like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter to listen to our past shows. Today on the show, iSportsWeb contributor Mike Sterner joins me. We're going to talk some Naismith Hall of Fame, but first we're going to talk about how Michigan State can bounce back as they take on Indiana on Sunday. How can they bounce back against from a third tough game against Purdue? Mike, how you doing today?
Good, Tyler. How you doing?
I am doing very well. Let's just get your initial thoughts on the game. What are some of the things that you're going to look at? We'll talk about the X factors and matchups later, but what are some of the bigger things that stand out?
It's for this Michigan State team, it's really all about their success with shooting the basketball. When they start slow, it's because they're not shooting the ball well early on. And so you need to get off to a hot start shooting the ball, and you need to have confidence there. And, you need to utilize all your players, too. I think those are
– And that's one of the things that you kind of saw against – Michigan is they started outside, but then they were able to work their way in, which is kind of the opposite of how you want to do things based on, basketball 101. But then Matt Costello kind of had his way with Michigan. He scored 13 of his 14 points in the second half. Against Purdue, I don't know if it was just fear of the height or what the situation was, but Michigan State, they didn't go inside, and frankly, I thought Costello, especially near the end of the game on the offensive end, at the beginning on the defensive end, he kind of had his way with A.J. Hammonds, who's going to be first-team All-Big Ten.
Yeah, he really did kind of do it, and I think, like you said, it might have been fear. I mean, to go amongst the threes, being that Purdue's got so many of them, but I don't know. I think that's something. I think it's Michigan State tends to rely on their shooting or believe that it's, when it's at its best, it is what drives the Spartans. But I think you got to be able to open up, especially when you get into tournament play. You don't know who you're going to match up against. So Matt Costello may need to have his biggest game in the tournament against a team like Purdue if anybody that is somewhere on the floor to them comes up. So I think that you got to get over that fear or whatever that might have been.
Yeah, I think that fear was kind of established early by Aaron Harris, who had no fear, but he also didn't exactly use what width he does have as far as driving A.J. Hampton and packing three, four times in the first 6 minutes of the game. You can't have that type of stuff happen. I thought Costello played good against Hammonds. He played good last year against them. I thought Schilling played good. They just need to establish the paint presence a little bit more. And I think that's something you'll see kind of going forward the rest of the way, because Tom has mentioned it even after the Michigan game. We need to go inside more. And even though they started shooting the deep ball against U of M, they did start going inside. They did establish that presence. And so I think that we will see that moving forward. You're not going to face another team like Purdue if they face them in the Big Ten tournament Look, they could face them in the NCAA tournament, even though the committee does like to seed in a way that keeps conference foes from playing each other again. If you make a deep enough run, which both of these teams have the capability to do, then, yeah, there is that possibility. I think one of the things, when you look at Indiana, they've got such a backloaded schedule that's not even funny. They still have Purdue to play. Iowa, again, I don't know. I had the schedule.
Yeah, they
play
Iowa.
They obviously play Michigan State. It's one of those situations where there's a lot of people were not buying into them. Let's just put it like that. There were a lot of people who were not buying into this team because their schedule early on was very weak. Right now, they still have Michigan State. They've got Purdue. They've got Iowa, and they've got Maryland. They've got all of them. They split the. They have to go to East Lansing. They have to go to Iowa, but they get Maryland and Purdue at home. So this is a very backloaded schedule. A lot of people thought, okay, they're losing to the teams that good teams are supposed to lose to, and they're beating the bad teams, and then they kind of switched a little bit when they beat Iowa. What was it, just last night, and then they
yeah.
lost to Penn State the game before that. And so
yeah.
they're relatively consistent, at least, as far as who they're supposed to beat and who they're supposed to lose to. What do you make of this team? Are they one of those teams that you can throw up there with the Iowa, the Maryland's, Michigan State's, and Purdue's? Or are they just a tier below that and you can shuffle them in with Wisconsin and Michigan?
I think it's still yet to be seen. I think you can make the argument that a lot of people thought Iowa was a pretender when they beat Michigan State at home without Denzel Valentine. A lot of people thought that was a fluke, but then they came in and absolutely demolished the Spartans on their own floor. So I think it remains to be seen. I think what will play into the hands of Indiana is the fact that they are going to be playing with confidence, being that they got through the first half and more so of their Big Ten schedule with the same record as the Iowa team, who was leading until yesterday. So I believe that that confidence really helps them. I think you're really going to find out what kind of team they are. But basketball is really a sport that often goes as momentum goes, and Indiana has that right now. So that can really help them moving forward. We'll see.
One of the things that always crossed my mind during this matchup is Tom Crean and how he obviously matches up well with Michigan State. He used to work for Izzo. I think we all know that. And he knows what Izzo does better than a lot of the other coaches you'll see. And so when Tom Crean was building this program back up after its downfall, I mean, it's not like he was rebuilding the Roman Empire, but he was building a team back up. And even then, they gave Michigan State a lot of troubles, and I think that was Yogi Ferrell's freshman year, like 10 years ago or whatever it was. how much does that impact the game? How much of that does it swing in Indiana's favor?
I do think it really does help the Hoosiers. The Hoosiers seem to always play the Spartans very tough when they come on at Breslin Center in particular. Actually, the Spartans have had the upper hand more so in Assembly Hall, it seems, than they had in their own floor in some of the recent matchups. I think that definitely Tom Crean has sort of an edge when he comes back to East Lansing because, you know, he does have those connections with the program, and he wants to beat his former boss. He wants to knock them off. So I do think that that helps a lot. And then when you have a guy like Yogi Ferrell, who has seemed like he's been the next Aaron Kraft with how long he's been in the Big Ten and at Indiana, that really plays into their hands as well. I think this is going to be a very tough game for the Spartans, but and Indiana will play their best.
Looking at Indiana's team, obviously you have the Troy Williams, James Blackman, he's done for the season. You talked about Yogi Ferrell, he's averaging, 17 points, 5.5 assists a game. But they're getting a pretty good-sized contribution from Thomas Bryant. He's a freshman, averages 22 minutes, 12 points, about 6 rebounds a game. But he gets into a little bit of foul trouble. So is this something where you try to go at him early and often and try to take advantage of him? I mean, part of that depends on who he guards. Does he guard Matt Costello or Deontay Davis early on? But do they try to do that? And does Michigan State put Matt Costello on him, or do they try to let Deontay Davis do that and have Matt Costello face the more seasoned Max Biefeldt?
I think it would be intriguing to see a Max Biefeldt Matt Costello matchup, and then to put the two young guys on each other there. I believe that in terms of going after Bryant, it's going to depend on what's going to be the offensive identity for the Spartans early on. Oftentimes it has been, you know, making those shots beyond the arc and just some deep jump shots inside the three. It really depends on what kind of identity they want to establish early on. I think that it would, you know, it would serve them well to try to establish a presence down low early on. I think that'll be very interesting. Tom Izzo, as you said, has pointed out that he'd like his team to get a little bit stronger down there, or just to utilize themselves a little bit more. It'll be interesting to see how they manage that.
What do you see as, like, the big X factor? Because at this point, and I'm going to do a little bit of self-promotion here. I mean, I have no shame, so. A week ago or so, I wrote an article that Bryn Forbes carries this team because if he is off, there's a correlation with losses and how poorly Bryn Forbes plays. You look at both of the Iowa games, obviously Purdue was a situation that was very similar to that, even though the Spartans had a chance to win, Nebraska, Wisconsin. His numbers just dropped dramatically. And then everybody else started doing that article after the Purdue game. Something very similar to that. So I think it's safe to say that that's no longer an X factor. What do you see as an X factor for this game?
Well, I believe that I think we talked about him briefly. I believe that Aaron Harris needs to start playing basketball like he's capable of doing. So we talk about how Bryn Forbes has been so important to this team. Well, Bryn Forbes having a down game may not be as much of an impact if Aaron Harris plays his best basketball, and he hasn't seemed to do it an incredible amount all season long. I believe that Aaron Harris is a guy that can really elevate the Spartans when March comes along in the NCAA tournament if he starts to play his best. And this Indiana game could be a place to jump start that. And then I'd also say for sure you want to start, as I mentioned earlier, you want to start to establish a presence down low with your guys like Costello and Davis. You want to start to get something going down there because that will come in handy come March. And then at the same time, you can live and die by your jump shot, and that can end your season in one game if you have a bad jump shooting game.
And I kind of want to piggyback off of the Aaron Harris situation because he's one of those guys, kind of like Forbes, where if his shot is falling, he plays good on both ends of the floor. If he struggles shooting, he struggles altogether. I believe we called him brain parts a little bit earlier before the show. They multiply if he's not shooting well. You saw that in the Purdue game. He cost Michigan State a potential 7 straight points. So that tends to multiply. His defense gets a little shakier. It's not a good thing because, yeah, he's had good games like against Mello Trumbull, but he's not that great of a defender. He does make a lot more mistakes than you would like to see, regardless of how he's playing. If he's playing good, he still makes some of those head-scratching mistakes. And so if his shot's not falling, he's probably going to be the guy who's guarding Yogi Berra. I think Tom Izzo said something today or yesterday. I don't really remember when it was. Everything's just kind of blending in together, if you can't tell from me at this point. Tum-Tum Nairn may play. He said he may use him sparingly moving forward. He's projected to be out the rest of the season. He's not going to at least contribute heavily the rest of the season. But he could give Michigan State intervals of about 5 minutes. I'm saying maybe 5 minutes, a half. You can get possibly 10 minutes when you need to guard strong perimeter threats. I think that's the X factor because I just don't have the faith in Aaron Harris. With all due respect, I think he's got fantastic potential. I just don't have the faith in Aaron Harris. I think we're going to see Tum-Tum, and he's going to contribute less on offense than he already does, which means maybe slower, fast breaks, maybe a couple poor decisions here and there just because he hasn't been in the lineup. But his defense needs to be where it was, at least before the injury, if Michigan State needs to win. And look, if Michigan State comes out, they dominate Indiana early. Obviously, you're probably not going to see him. But Indiana, we've talked about it. They play Michigan State close.
That you brought up there. It'll be really interesting to see how he gets utilized. I don't know. It almost seems like to me the reverse of Keith Appling during his senior year. Like, I know they're completely different injuries, but it seemed like Tom Izzo used maybe Keith Appling too much back in those times, and he doesn't want to make that mistake with Tum-Tum. So he's going to be used sparingly, but I don't know what that really means yet. And he's definitely going to be used on defense. That's where Tum-Tum has his strength. I think that could definitely come into play.
What's the key matchup in this game? Obviously, stopping Yogi Ferrell is huge, but at the same time, maybe you don't put the pressure on Aaron Harris on offense because, well, we talked about his inconsistencies. What's the key matchup for this game?
Well, I think we kind of touched on it earlier with Davis and Costello going up against Bryant and Biafeld. I think that's going to really help decide the game, you know. And Tom Izzo always talks about, you know, having strength and, you know, winning the 50-50 balls, especially down low. That's going to be huge in this game. You need to establish a presence down there early and often. You need to make your presence felt. We saw Matt Costello has the capability of putting his team on his back and taking the game over at the end of the game. He did that with Maryland. I think we need to see that from the bigs here for the Spartans, and I think that's really what's going to help decide this game. The shooting will be there at some point in the game, even if it's there not there early on, but it's going to be decided in the low post.
Oh, and I'm right there with you. This is a team who they lead the nation in, or they led the nation in rebounding margin at least before the Purdue game. Actually, it wasn't rebounding margin. It was rebounding percentage, which I placed a little more emphasis on just because rebounding margin kind of depends on how many shots are missed during the course of the game. So they lead the nation in they led the nation in rebound percentage. I think they need to do that a little bit more. Indiana, they're a high-scoring, athletic team. Obviously, Michigan State needs to get those stops. And so those rebounds, those loose balls, they can't give Indiana any second chances. And so I'm right there with you. I think it's going to be the play of Davis and Costello. I would like to see Gavin Schilling continue his play from the Purdue game. He played very well against Purdue, kind of like Tum-Tum. You know he's not going to give you the points, and people need to live with that. They need to live with it. I'm only going to say this a couple more times because – for whatever reason, people think that Tum-Tum's not qualified to be a point guard on this team, which I think is the ninth thing you could say about the kid, given his defense, his leadership, his ability to push the ball, and his great nation-leading assist-to-turnover ratio. You're not going to get the points from Schilling either. You need to live with that. But can he continue to play defense? I think that is very big for Michigan State. That's very big to help with the rebounds too. Just keep the lane clogged and hope that Forbes and Harris can get their act together on the defensive end. Because you know Denzel Valentine, he's going to be a good defender, maybe not the greatest, but he can stick with some of the better players on the other team. So you'll get it from him. Can Forbes and Harris force enough missed shots and let the bigs do their job down low? So I'm right there with you. I think it's all going to come down to interior defense and rebounding.
Absolutely.
Let's switch topics here just a little bit. Today, there was a list of two people that are nominated for the Naismith Hall of Fame. You got Lefty Driesell, Daryl Gerritsen, Robert Hughes, Allen Iverson, Shaquille O'Neal, Kevin Johnson, John McClendon, Bo Ryan, Eddie Sutton, Leta Andrews, Muffet McGraw, Cheryl Swoops, Wayland Baptist University in Texas, and Tom Izzo, nominated for the Hall of Fame. It's a great list. Obviously, you do have certain no-brainers in Allen Iverson. You could probably lean a little bit towards Cheryl Swoops as well. Looking at some of these numbers via NBA.com, Wayland Baptist University, that's a pretty good team. They had 131 consecutive wins for over the course of 5 years in the 50s, 10 AAU national championships. So they kind of knew what they were doing. You might have to give the nod to them as well. But what do you think the odds are of Tom Izzo making this in his first year of eligibility? Or I don't know if this is first year of eligibility. I think it is because you have to have 20 years head coaching experience.
Yeah.
In his first year nominated, at least.
I think you kind of touched on it earlier. It's probably around a 50-50 chance. He's going to get in at some point. There's no question about that. He will be in the Hall of Fame. Will it be this year? I think there's a chance that it could happen. I mean, he's got 7 Final Fours, a national championship, but maybe adding another Final Four or two, and just the fact that he's still coaching, maybe that'll be something that pushes against him. Still, he doesn't have Coach K numbers right now, but he's still, you know, everyone recognizes him as one of the best basketball coaches there is in college right now. There's no question about it. I think that it very well could happen, but I wouldn't be necessarily surprised if it didn't this year either.
Well, I mean, you can make a case. You said something about Coach K numbers. Coach K's obviously been around longer. And with all due respect to the guys who Michigan State has, or they have had, that Tom Izzo's had at his disposal, Coach K gets better players. And you could make a case that obviously Duke has all the national championships. I think Coach K has 5. 4 or 5.
I think it's 5 now.
Yeah, he has 5 national championships. But he doesn't go as far in the tournament as consistently as Tom Izzo. So does that play into it? And does the fact Bo Ryan, who, yeah, he doesn't have the Division I resume that Izzo has, but he won 3 national championships at a lower level before he went to Wisconsin and did such a great job up and did such a great job over there. Does maybe that play into it, and maybe they want to put in Bo Ryan first? Because they put in Calipari last year, which I think opens up the door for Izzo a little bit more.
Yeah, I think that I think Bo Ryan will get in, especially now that he's officially done. He's going to get in. I think that the point you brought up with Calipari, that definitely opens the door for Izzo. You know, you're absolutely correct when you say that Krzyzewski even has not been as consistent as Izzo in the tournament. I mean, Izzo rarely, if ever, flops out with his teams in the first round when he's not supposed to. The last time I really can remember them doing that is against George Mason when the likes of Paul Davis were on the team. When they lose in early games, it's usually because they're just not that talented or just didn't have a great year. I think that Izzo's a surefire Hall of Famer at some point. The fact that Calipari got in does help him. One of the things about Coach K, when you compare him to the likes of Izzo, is people just, for whatever reason, they don't give Izzo the same reputation. Duke just gets revered in a way that's different than Michigan State, unfortunately. It's really not explainable sometimes, but I believe that he's going to get in in the very near future, if it isn't this year.
Well, in order to get in, you need 18 of 24 votes from the panel. Jerry Colangelo, who's the director of USA Basketball Operations, which Tom Izzo has said that he would be interested in doing. So you wonder how much longer the door is open for him as far as that goes. He's also the chairman on this. So I think that Colangelo has made it a point a few times that he is a big fan of what Tom Izzo brings to the table. But the fact, and we don't know when the vote is being held, but like I said, they need 18 to 24 votes. It's going to be announced the night of the championship, the college basketball championship this year. Does that play into it? I don't know. Like I said, I don't know when the vote's being held, but if it's being held after the start of the Final Four, when everyone knows what the Final Four teams are going to be, if Michigan State gets in, does that maybe help Izzo in a way?
Well, I think it definitely can't hurt, but I'm at the point where, you know, I think Tom Izzo is going to get a couple more Final Fours on his resume before all things are said and done. I think if you're going to vote for him with 7 Final Fours, you're going to vote for him with 8 Final Fours, too. Or with 8 Final Fours, you're going to vote for him with 7 Final Fours. I don't see the difference there. I think maybe the only thing people might say is maybe let's wait till his career rounds up a little bit. But like you said, you made the point about Calipari, and I think Izzo's got to be – I think he's got to be in. If it's on your mind that you're going to put him in just because he makes the Final Four this year, then I think you got to put him in even before that thought crosses your mind.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I kind of looked at it because I was really curious because every announced team that gets a Michigan State game, future Hall of Famer Tom Izzo. And so when Calipari was announced as a finalist last year, I kind of compared the numbers. And obviously as far as wins and losses go, Calipari does hold a little bit of an advantage. But as far as Final Fours and national championships, given how long that they've been doing this, Tom Izzo holds that advantage. And so you would really have to think, especially with another one this year, if let's say Michigan State does make it and the committee places their vote that week, I mean, you would have to definitely put Izzo in his first time on the ballot. Really quick, before we let you go, we just got a couple minutes left. Let's get a prediction, man. This Indiana game, it's a big game. Fairly a must-win, but it opens the door for a couple more must-wins down the road. Michigan State beat IU this weekend.
Yeah, I do. I believe that they beat them. I think it has, you know, it's ironic that it's kind of interesting that it's on this Valentine's Day where you had another big game against Ohio State last year and had that buzzer beater win against Denzel Valentine. I think Michigan State's going to win 75-73 and it'll go right down to the end, and Denzel Valentine will be the difference in the end.
Yeah, I think I think coming back to the Breslin Center like for a good game after going to Mackey Arena, which is I'd say one of the toughest places to play, right behind Wisconsin, and going out to College Park against Maryland, I think it's the toughest place to play in the Big Ten. And so I think that Michigan State, they're able to bounce back. I'm going to say 72-63 in favor of the Spartans. Mike, thanks for coming on. That does it for us today. For Mike Sternal, I'm Tyler Hayward. Have a happy Denzel Valentine's Day this weekend. You've been listening to the iSports MSU Red Theater Report.